So Justin, I now know I'm comfortable. I've learned to live with William Nylander. I feel like I've grown into his body. You know what I'm saying? Like I after reading your piece, I like the fact that your conclusion is essentially whatever you think William Nylander is. That's probably accurate. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. I'm not going to say Swiss Army knife of incompetence. That's not fair. But he's kind of a Swiss Army knife of mushiness, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's you don't have this like massively polarizing person and topic very often where the answer is black or white. He's gray. He's gray. He's awesome. He's awful. He can be both in the same game. We saw that against Calgary. Well, let's just live with that. He's a little bit of everything.
If that empty net, if the Flames don't hit the post with the empty net, what's our conversation right now? We're not having the ambiguous conversation about William Nylander. People are saying he was, and again, you, by the way, in that piece, thank you for explaining to me, because the Calgary score their goals, the goal to finally break the goalless tie to go ahead late in the third. William Nylander appears to be standing there, not checking the guy who scores the goal. And I thought, well, does that mean he? Because normally I'm wrong about this. You know, does that mean he's responsible, or is it actually am I missing this? And as you pointed out, he was and he wasn't.
So, because he's William Nylander. So thank you. William Nylander. He wasn't.
Thank you for clarifying that, Justin. I appreciate it, man. But yeah. But no. But if the empty net shot goes in, William Nylander's standing there and the Leafs haven't scored in two games, and there's it's amazing the sea change in those 10 minutes of real life.
Yeah. Well, if Nylander doesn't score, sorry, if that empty netter goes in, he's probably not on the ice again the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And you guys have Stewie on today and not me, because Stewie has said something like trade him, and that's the more interesting topic of the day. And everyone's like, we got to get this guy out of town. It actually reminds me of the Gallagher goal against Ottawa. If that goes in and Montreal beats Ottawa, is Claude Julien fired? And you hear people, with the Canadiens organization say, oh, yeah, it had nothing to do with that. Oh, yes, it did.
Of course it did. You can't. Yes. No one gets fired off. You don't fire him off a win. There's no chance he gets fired. And if they win two in a row after that, then he's probably secure for another month, right?
Oh, my God. Who knows if it even happens? I would actually love to go back in the history of, sports and coaching and find the game that a coach won and ended up staying with a team for years after that where it could have been over, because I know they exist. And that to me, that was it with Julien. So here it is for Willie Nylander. Maybe if they score on that empty net, maybe we're starting the rumors and the front office in Toronto's going, you know what? Maybe we do got to get him out of here. He's costed us points. I don't know, but it didn't happen. Kyle Dubas' favorite line when I worked with him for a brief time was, there is no alternate timeline. There is no sequence of events where it didn't happen. It did. He scored the goals. There's no sense talking about any other timeline.
I was going to say, in Toronto sports history, there is actually an occasion. John Gibbons, to this day, remains convinced that he would have been fired had the Blue Jays lost that doubleheader against the Washington Nationals. Remember that game in 2015 where Kevin Pillar comes through for him?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, he maintains to this day that if they'd lost that game, he was gone.
So there's your alternate history, right?
That is the alternate history. That is right.
But those two absolutely fine line moments where now William Nylander is still around. I'm not sure everybody is going, yes, you saw that 3-on-3 goal he scored. This is the guy, and now he's going to do that every night, and we can all relax because he has consummate offensive skills, and that's all we care about. It's still a flaming debate, right? But it would have been rather more one-sided if that game had finished 2-0 Flames.
And if the Leafs were, I don't know, worse and had a bunch of bad players, we're probably talking about those guys once in a while. But the Leafs are good.
Yes.
They're the best winning percentage in the NHL, and it's like, well, who's the problem? I don't know. I guess the Swedish kid. I think he's taken the brunt of it because the team has been so good, and there's not a whole lot of players to really turn to and say that guy is an issue in the team.
Just a little bit of an update, by the way. According to the Leafs, this from Luke Fox, Jack Campbell will start in goal Saturday against the Oilers as long as he feels good in the morning. Whatever that means. I guess that means as long as whatever injury he's recovering from doesn't flare up. So Jack Campbell expected to start. Auston Matthews didn't practice today. He's listed as day-to-day. Look, Sheldon Keefe told us. Sheldon Keefe.
He has not been ruled out.
He has not been ruled out. Yeah, that's okay. What I said. he's been listed as day-to-day. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe talked about how he had this wrist injury for a while. He's played through it. I don't know. Do you read anything into the fact he didn't practice today? And because he's practiced with the injury at other times, right, and started?
Yeah. Well, I do read something into it. It's just like, you know, again, they're the best teams in the NHL right now by points percentage, and they have the best goal scorer in the NHL who has got a nagging injury. Like, can we get this guy some time off? Like, the point of being up, being in first is a rare luxury because you can kind of do a few things that should set you up better down the road. And one of those is rest some people when they need some rest. And so I maybe Matthews is going to be ready to go tomorrow and he'll give it a try. Maybe he wants to score 50 and 50 or whatever that may be. But
he wants to kick Connor McDavid's ass, let's face it.
Yeah, well, that's,
I mean, I want him to. The whole country, maybe not the whole country, but a lot of us want him to. I want him to kick Connor McDavid's ass. I want to get that thing going again.
Imagine thinking you're like watching Connor McDavid and be like, I think I can hang with this guy. I just, it's, like, you're a special person at that point. But no, I just think they should give him a little rest if he needs it. Let's not force this thing in February of a season where you have a chance to win a cup.
Yeah, and they're, and you know, Justin, they're, look, their depth has been tested already, right? They, like, we, that's one of the things that they managed to get through. So, you know, in this in bizarro season that we're watching, that they have lost, they haven't lost Matthews, but you know, just about everybody else has been down for a bit. You know, and it's allowed them to see some players. I know, you know, that's a kind of a dubious benefit, but they have been able to see some guys who they wouldn't have necessarily run out there this year. And they've survived, right? Like, by and large, I think, you know, what you saw against the Flames in those two games and especially the first game, just, I think that there is maybe a little fatigue creeping in around the edges with some of them. And, you know, a little bit of the sharpness is gone. And some of those replay guys who are stepping in are not quite ready or not quite the same. But beyond that, again, look at the record, right? It's they've weathered a lot of little storms already.
One of my favorite Sheldon Keefe things is, and you don't see this from many other coaches, it's hockey is like a homogenous, everyone does the same thing. We're playing a 1-2-2 in the forecheck. One of the things that Sheldon Keefe legitimately does differently is he will play different lines, different power play units, different configurations, and when he decides that they're good, he'll move on. He'll say, okay, I know I've got that. That's something I can turn to when I need it. What else can I find? Like, take all these ingredients. There's a website called supercook.com, or there used to be, and you just tell them what you have in their house, and they give you all the different recipes you can make with those things. That's what Keefe does with his roster, and he tries to figure out what he's got. And so being in first and going through 19 forwards this year allows him to make a bunch of different recipes and figure out what he has. So come playoffs, when your one recipe doesn't work, you go, okay, let me turn to the cupboard and see what else I've got here. So this has been an opportunity for him to explore, and that's just going to help the Leafs down the road.
Now, you know, in terms of crises like this, you know, Austin Matthews may being day-to-day, within the Scotia North Division, like, this is small cheese, right? Like, the Habs responded to the Claude Julien firing by getting hammered, and Carey Price, now there's a, you know, pretty active conversation around Carey Price and his save percentage this year and just him not looking like Carey Price. And our friends, the Flames, who were just, you know, played those two really tough games. Clearly, the Leafs took a lot out of them because, you know, David Rittich turned into a pumpkin. And I was on with our Calgary guys this morning, and, you know, there's this talk about, do you change, you know, do you think, look at a coaching, does a coaching change work in a season like this? If, you know, because it's so hard to do the other kinds of things that might shake a team up, is that the solution they've gone? And, you know, you go through the list of how many coaches the Flames have gone through in the last decade. Like, it's, that's unbelievable. So, you know, like, the Leafs in first place dealing with some bumps and bruises is not much compared to what those teams are trying to go through right now.
No, and you know what's crazy? I heard the absolute most insane stat, well, not stat the other day, but I guess a little nugget the other day, is that every coach that you're referring to as a coach of the Flames since Daryl Sutter never coached again in the NHL.
They did mention that. Yeah, the boys did mention that. And that's isn't that the most damning thing ever?
Like, it is.
Right? Because it means you go through we have a process, you know, we sometimes you don't have a process. Sometimes you're just looking for a guy in the room who can take over. But
yeah,
you go through the process, you know, we want the brightest young minds. We want to get the smart guy before somebody else finds. We're not going to recycle guys.
They must be using the same folks that hired the last governor general to do, to do the job search,
but
right?
That's hard to do. It's hard to get it wrong that often.
It is. It truly is. And it, you're right. It is damning about, you know, the effort being in to find the next guy. So, I don't know. I will say that looking at the Calgary Flames, and this is including the Montreal Canadiens, they are the team in this division most underperforming their roster. I like their roster. They got a great D. They got a good goalie. They got a couple of stars. They got a decent depth. I don't really understand why they're that bad. And I am not the fire the coach guy. That's not been my thing. But, like, Calgary's the one team where I was like, Montreal looked like they're kind of getting a lot out of their roster. Calgary, to me, is a team that I don't see. I think they could do a lot better. And I'm not saying they should, but I think it's there for them.
Yeah, so are you thinking that like, again, you fire the coach. Number one, you got to find a coach on this side of the border, right? Because otherwise, you won't have a coach.
There's a guy in Saskatchewan right now that could probably coach.
Yeah, there is.
He's been doing a redemption tour.
Yeah, they might be ticked at the University of Saskatchewan if that happens. But you know that, like, and they've gone down that road. You're going to go to your assistant and say, become the interim. And I always wonder about those things, Justin. You tell them way better than I would. But when the guys in the room know the guy probably isn't. Like when Sheldon Keefe ascended in Toronto, everybody knew he was the heir apparent, right? Right. You knew that he's gonna get a lot of runway here. He's the guy. He's the GM's guy. But when you bring in a guy and you know he's filler, do you kind of roll your eyes if you're a player and say,
yes.
Yeah.
Particularly, yeah. What if you got like a 4-year deal and they bring in a guy who's there to get through the next 2 months? Like, how much do you care if it does or it doesn't work out? And also, this sounds, I don't know, it just... If you're an assistant coach on staff with the team and you wanted to do things wildly different from your head coach, maybe you shouldn't have been on that staff, or you were ineffective. Like, it was your voice not being heard. Like, to me, if I'm thinking of Ducharme, like, I don't know what he plans to do differently than Claude, but, like, could he not get those ideas through, or at least the majority of them? So my point is, I don't see how much things are going to change where you put in an assistant coach as the head coach, unless he was a bad assistant coach and not getting his ideas in. So I don't love the internal hires. I think you either got to start fresh or don't do it at all.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, you know, the Carey Price debate, and again, it's going to, you can imagine how it's raging in Montreal right now, but... he was tremendous in the bubble, obviously. You know, we saw great Carey Price last summer, but we haven't necessarily seen great Carey Price consistently for quite some time now. What is he right now, Justin? Like, by name, he's the greatest goalie in the world, right?
Right.
Yeah, somebody who's the best goalie in the world. 8 people out of 10 who watch hockey would say, well, it's got to probably Carey Price. But I don't know that he's not, though, is he?
No, and that's the tough part here. Is, you know, I had this conversation about Jeff Skinner and the Buffalo Sabres today, where a contract is a certain way and the player is just going to be there, and you kind of have to go to marriage counseling and just stick it out even through tough times. And I can't see any way that, you know, anything changes there. And Carey Price, to me, the most I got killed for a comment this year was saying that the Montreal Canadiens had the fourth best goaltending in the division before the season. And let me tell you, I look brilliant today.
You do.
and by the way, Jake Allen's been really good.
He has, actually. That's fair.
Yes.
But yeah, so I don't think anything's going to change. I think he's probably a league average goaltender. I don't think that'll get me in trouble. I'll call him league average with maybe hedge on the underside there a little bit. And they're just going to have to deal with that because he's going to be there.